13-2010, City of Daytona Beach, Special Magistrate Proceedings. We'll now call that meeting to order. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
I swear that the Constitution will truth and nothing but the truth.
I do. All right, we'll go straight to case number one. Five Star of Central Florida Incorporated, here for a progress report. Morning.
Good morning. Brad Shepard with Berger Commercial Realty, representing the receiver and U.S. Bank.
Good
morning. Emory Counts from City of Daytona Beach, Community Development Department.
Nice to meet you in person.
Nice to meet you. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And your name again, sir?
Emory Counts. You want me standing?
Yeah. Just, all right. You've obtained permits for work being done on property. I know this is an involved matter, so somebody grab the microphone, take the bull by the horns, and tell me what, if any, progress has been made since last time we met.
Okay. Receiver for the property, there has been a motion put in front of the court to have the receiver dismissed from the property, so the receivership will be over, and title to the property has transferred to U.S. Bank now. The contract with the Housing Authority is fully executed and going forward, and there is a closing date, which has been established, and I believe that it is August 23rd. Is that?
That sounds correct.
Okay. All right. I assume once that contract closes, sure it will, that the Housing Authority has plans for this property that will remedy all these violations.
Yes, sir. Emory Counts, Economic and Community Development Director for the city. It's quite an elaborate plan, and the city is also asking for additional funds to help this project along. If you recall, the initial allotment was $2.3 million. We're asking for $5.188,802 in additional funding. We don't know that we get that. We've received some assurances from the Department of Community Affairs that says that we're going to get something, but we don't know what that figure is going to be. The department is on board with this project. They've given us assurances that this is one of their premier projects in the state. In fact, they did an article on us without our knowledge, saying that we had expended 100% of our funds. So we feel pretty confident that we're going to not only execute the primary plan, but also get additional funds. Now, in the primary plan, if we don't get additional funds, let me do scenario B. If we don't get additional funds, we're prepared to go forward with the Housing Authority's assistance, and we would do the project in phases. Phase one would do, I believe it's 13 buildings, and phase two would do the rest of them. So we feel pretty confident this is going to happen.
So we're talking about remodeling, refurbishing?
Yes. It's quite extensive. We discovered that some of the pipes under the structure need to be replaced, and there's a plan in place to take care of that as well.
What say the city?
In lieu of all of this information, I would suggest a progress report in September hearing, being that the closing is scheduled for the latter part of August.
And I assume you're satisfied in the interim it's being secured, exterior maintained, all that stuff?
Yes, sir. Okay.
All right. Well, then, let's go ahead and continue this matter to our September 14, 2010 meeting. At that point, we'll receive another progress report. And in the interim, the property is to be secured to city standards, the exterior maintained, and all those other things we have to do to make sure it doesn't become a police issue. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case number 2, 400 Beach Street Acquisitions, LLC. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name.
Michael Fitzgerald, City of Daytona, Code Enforcement.
Gerald, are you here to give me a progress report?
The city is trying to buy that property with the redevelopment with Reed Berger and for the city, and they're doing tests on that property, and they'd like a continuance for 2 months.
And these are the asbestos tests we've been talking about?
They're doing ground tests also for oil and any pollutants in the ground for the EPA.
What say the city?
We're concur.
What say your part of the city?
I'm just standing here.
Okay, well, I assume the property's being secured.
It is.
And to some extent, the exterior being maintained.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, you are the city. Okay.
Thank you.
I guess I will schedule you for another progress report on September 14, 2010 as well.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Case number 3, RDW Property Management Incorporated. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Picoza, this is a very long, ongoing case. It started in November 2008. As you can see by the pictures, the property is just in horrible condition. It's a police issue constantly. Myself and two other code officers, in addition to numerous police officers, have been there on numerous different occasions. And the property remains to be in noncompliance. The city would like to suggest to impose a fine of $100 a day.
All right, based on our inspector's report, I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent. Is it respondent or respondents? Two respondents?
Well, I think it was a corporation and then him.
Okay. Well, in any event, I'll go ahead and find the respondents. The sum of $100 per day, commencing July 7, 2010, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. All right, case number 4 I have as being in compliance. Case number 5, Carrie Bernadette Smith Ramsey. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. Picoza, this case began in November 2009. The long and short of this case is that they are attempting to get assistance from community development. However, their title is very dirty, to include a lien from this city that's probably outweighing the value of the property at this point. So there has been very little progress made at all.
All right, what do you propose?
I propose that the property be brought into compliance by next cutoff or a fine certain of $75 a day.
And you said we already have one lien against this property?
Yes, sir. That was done February 24th, 2003. $100 a day, and is now past $270,000.
How much is that, Lee?
As of yesterday.
About $270,000, did
you say? Yes. As of yesterday, it was $270,000.
Is this property abandoned?
It's unoccupied. It has been a police issue. It's quieted down. It's definitely a complaint issue from citizens. The last few times this case came before you, there was a respondent. Now it's just, we're trying to get the title clean so we can get the assistance from community development. But I really can't see.
Trying to get the title clean.
Trying to get.
Get assistance from community development.
Correct.
Sounds like we're whistling in the wind here.
Mr. Smith.
Bernard.
Bernard. Mm-hmm. Bernard Bernadette.
Okay, I can tack another fine on this and we can accumulate another lien on it.
I agree.
I'm more interested in what, if anything, do I need to be doing or can I be doing to lay the groundwork for some resolution actually coming with this property. And I hate to be callous, but it looks like it needs to be bulldozed to me. That's my observation. So other than just imposing another lien, is there anything you need me to do in the way of a predicate to you doing something with regard to this property somewhere down the road? Because my sense is this ain't doing anyway.
Okay. In lieu of the existing liens, city would like to propose that we allow the owner to apply for a demolition permit. I'll give him 60 days to attempt to acquire that. In that interim, hopefully he can have some kind of resolution with getting his title clean. Maybe he can get the assistance before that time.
Just some clarification, Mr. Pekelza. I remember, and you may recall as well now, that the, I don't know if Bernard's the owner or just the ones trying to enter it for the family, but the violator's been in several times, at least twice, maybe three times, on this case, indicating that he was working on trying to get money from the union government. Whether that's really happening or not, I think at least allowing enough time so that we are giving him enough time to comply, if at the very least with demolition. 60 days would do that, and if indeed he's still working on trying to get money or whatever else, that would allow him the time to do that as well. I guess there's the point now to tell him Fisher Cup date, but my suggestion is allowing him at least the time to get an actual compliance.
And this is probably an aside. Is demolition always a default option when it comes to coming into compliance?
Probably.
Or do I need to specifically say demolition, or you can come into compliance by demolishing the building?
No, it's always a default because the nature of the violations are things that would always be remedied. I'm sure in this circumstance.
Correct.
But for us, the demolition includes the demolition cleanup, following all the requirements of demolition. And once with the demolition cleanup, there's nothing left to comply with.
So say, for example, and I'm really not trying to be cute, but I remember the fellow that was here that had that house bib, the roof stuck
the
over
eyebrow.
The neighbor's house. And he was kind of an aggravated fellow. And I put money on him doing something dramatic. But my point is, could he come into compliance by just knocking the whole building down, even though it may not be necessary?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Because when you say you want to give him time to demolish, I was just curious as to whether I need to specify that that's a remedy available to him or if that's something that's, and I'll go ahead and specify it anyway, but I was wondering if that was something I had to do or if that was something that was always there.
Yeah, I don't feel you. There's been, I think it was recent AG opinion or some recent case law related to the ordering of demolition from a board, and it's kind of, there's a lean towards the position that boards can do it. I don't know if that's a necessity for us, because demolition is always an option, and ultimately it would create what their ultimate desire or goal is, which is compliance. That's what we're seeking, and if they demolish, they'll be in compliance. Quite honestly, there's a lot of discussion and debate about what should and shouldn't be demolished and how much demolitions are being done. And if that's an owner's prerogative, then we're satisfied to leave it as an owner's prerogative.
Very good. All right. Anything more?
No, sir.
All right. Then I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by September 8, 2010. And for purpose of clarification, demolition constitutes or can qualify as compliance, as well as all of the work that we've asked them to do. Should the respondent fail to do that, I will order a fine in the amount of $100 per day, commencing September 8, 2010, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. Does that cover that?
Yes, sir.
Clarification on the date you said,
September.
September, 8th, yeah.
We wanted to give them 60 days.
Yeah.
$100 per day. Case number 6, Forrest Mack. Sir, if you would please state your name.
Horace Mack. Yes.
Okay, consideration of a will final order. So I guess I'll look to the city. What say the city in this matter?
The city's just requesting that a will final be put in place just in case the semis do reappear back on the property in the trailer.
Okay, did you finally find a place for your truck and your trailer?
No, I got rid of the truck. I found the kids. I get the kids get the whole thing, so they got rid of it. The only thing that I got on my property now is my 250 pickup. And where I moved it in the corner, somebody broke into it, stole the radio, but I didn't want to get rid of it because I peddled stuff. I work every day, but I peddled stuff. And I tried to call them to ask them, could I put me a private fence on the part of my land where I got them trees at, all the way across, and I could put my pickup back there. Because I can't put nothing on the property. I got everything off of it but my pickup. And I got some trees in the corner that I'm going to let stay on that land because they're Mother Nature trees. And from the trees that's 20 foot behind my house, I was wondering, could I get a permit, put up a private fence? I could come in and hide my pickup. I bought that land because we had trucks, and I've been parking there since 68. Had no problem, but if I knew this was coming up, I'd have probably, you know, the trucks.
Back in 68, this was
going to
be coming up?
Yeah, if I do this, yeah. Yeah, if I do this, I would just blessed with where I could live and see about the trucks all the same time, because when our freight was hauling, I was hauling for Disneyland. I could park stuff back there. The kids play on it, but it wasn't nothing stolen. Yes. I cleaned up everything but my pickup.
Everything's fine except for we were just concerned about the semi and the trailer, which was moved.
Now, what I want to do, if anything in this, I'm still going to truck some. I bought the property to park my rig back there. And if it's anything that I could do where when I do come off the road or one of them come off the road, it ain't going to stay there on it. My truck stayed there on it on because I have to come off the road to take care of my wife. That's why it was running and you didn't need
regulations here.
I know. Well, but I'm talking.
I'm asking him. Okay.
What can
what
I do?
He's talking about parking a trailer on the property.
No, he can't. It was in compliance, it's moved, and it'll be in non-compliance. That's why we're seeking a will fine to make sure neighborhood complaints that semi does not appear back.
Okay, is it not allowed to be there at all?
No, sir, not at all.
You mean to tell me if I put a building there with commercial property?
Okay, that's a zoning issue that she would have to go through a...
I talked to Ms. Colleen.
You have a building now.
Yeah. Yes, if I had a building there.
Okay, Well, yeah, I don't know what the alternative.
Well, I talked to Colleen because it's sad that I
parked the truck there.
Yeah, it's sad that I worked all my life, paid for my stuff, being honest, and then I can't do nothing with it but look at it. And see, if my house wasn't right behind my property, I would sell it. But if I sell my property, somebody build something there, I might have to move. You follow me? So, I mean, that's life, though. So,
yeah, so you just have to make whatever arrangements you have to make with regard to the trailer.
And the trailer gone. It won't come back. But what I'm... the truck gone,
and,
too.
But
now, never parking there again. I don't want to go along with that. Because if I bring a load in, I'm responsible for it. I tell the driver, hey, park back there. You're going to leave the next morning. And that's it.
But you're not understanding what these guys are saying.
They're saying I can't never put now. They're going to find me. Yeah. Well.
Can I just say this? Because of this, you can't never do that unless you work something out with zoning.
That's what I do.
Right. That.
That's what I do.
To them, you're going to do something else. But until they tell you can do something else, you can't park there.
Oh, I know that. Okay. But one more question I want to ask him. Can I keep my pickup? Because I got no place to put it in.
The pickup was fine at the time. We're just concerned about the semi.
All right. Well, no semi won't be there. Okay. All right. I can sleep tonight then.
Well, please get clarification from the city.
I will before I do anything.
I don't want you getting in any trouble.
I sure don't.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and order that for every future occurrence, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence.
I won't put the semi back there.
If you want to bring the truck to the property, please figure out with the city how you're allowed to do it.
Yes, sir.
Without just getting fined.
Yeah, and I can't stand
that. No, we don't want that. All right.
No. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Jen.
Yes.
And let me do my one case.
Okay.
And then I go back up.
What's that now?
Said, can we do my one case and then I can go back up?
Which is your one case?
1044 Hampton.
Is that the next one?
Yeah.
Case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8, Johnny Evans. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? This matter is here for the imposition of a fine. What say the city?
Non-compliance. They were here for a hearing. They were going to work with community development. They do not have insurance on it. They do not have homestead on it anymore. This is back from 2004 hurricanes. The neighborhood is up in arms over this property because it's sitting here, and supposedly now it's got a bunch of cats in the back and everything else. We're looking for a fine, $100 per day, capped at $30,000, and they're just going to walk away from it. The property, I think, is only valued at $68,000, somewhere around that.
Okay. Not hearing from the respondent and having heard from our inspector, I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondent pay the sum of $100 per day commencing July 7, 2010 and continuing each day thereafter with the ultimate fine to stop at the sum of $30,000 if the property is not brought into compliance sooner. Okay?
Thank you.
Case number 9, Woodley Investment Company, LLC. Let's say the city.
Ms. Pacozzi, this case is somewhat connected to the case that you heard last hearing. He did not want to obtain the permits until they got the lien issue cleared, which we did last month. However, to this date, there still hasn't been any application for any permits for the work being done on the property. So, the city would like to impose fine of $50 a day and cap it at $50,000.
Okay, has there been any work done at all? What is it? He needs to obtain a permit?
Needs to obtain permits for the work, for the renovation work that's being done on the inside of the property. He didn't obtain those permits because of the lien issue that we resolved last month that was on the property from the prior owner, which the lien was waived. But now that the lien is waived, his reasoning for not obtaining permits was because of the lien. But being that the lien has been waived, there's really no reason why he hasn't obtained the permits now. And he still hasn't.
Uh, 507 Ridgewood, corner of Ridgewood and Fairview.
The lawyer. I can't remember his name.
I'm sorry?
Larry Sims.
Okay.
The permit wasn't obtained because there was a lien in place. What happened to the lien? Did we waive it?
Yes.
We waived the lien, and then we still don't have a permit.
Correct.
I guess I'm more incensed about it than you are.
It is what it is.
How much time did we give him to get this permit?
We didn't. Because we didn't even address the permit issue. We were just dealing with the lien review last month. I'm pretty sure.
Well, we have an order of noncompliance that was entered in June, giving him to July 7th.
Okay.
And how much of an effort would be involved in order to get this permit? Is there something unique about this property or particularly troublesome that's going to cause this to require some extended amount of time?
No, sir. It's I'm assuming that the bank took the property back over from the previous owner. Previous owner had acquired these liens. The new owner addressed the liens during the lien review. The lien was waived. During that time, he had begun renovating the inside of the property without permits.
So Woodley Investment is the bank that now has possession, control, title to the property?
No, Woodley Investment would be the corporation that Mr. Sims
is the
mortgagee.
All right. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until August 4, 2010 to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $75 per day will go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. Okay, have I covered everything?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you. Okay,
over. Can I be heard on number 3? I just came in.
I know you did.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But I would request that the magistrate hear.
That was conveyed to me.
Thank you, sir.
Case number 10, ORA Sandcast Incorporated.
It's compliance 79.
Now, for your benefit, I was trying to get to the bottom of this page before I disrupted everything to accommodate you since you came in late.
Well, I understand that.
But you know what? Let's go ahead and hear your case right now. Okay, and for your information, we went ahead and imposed a fine in the amount of $100 per day commencing July 7, 2010.
Yes, Robert Williams.
Okay. Tony, is this a motion for reconsideration at this point? Or is that in my discretion?
Yeah, we'll be a motion for reconsideration, and that's already into an order. So, all motion will be sent. Still within the same proceeding.
All right, let's go ahead and hear what Mr. Williams has to say first. Okay, the issue was whether or not the property was brought into compliance, and our inspector testified that it had not been, and I was shown these photographs. So what say the respondent?
Well, these photographs are photographs that were initially taken, and during that particular hearing, I admitted to these violations in reference to the tenants that were living there, and that I was unaware of these violations and that I would get on top of these pronto. Now, I met with the inspector. Subsequently, I believe the magistrate had given me, at that hearing, 4 months. Mr. Stinson, who was one of the inspectors that was involved in this originally, had requested, based on these photographs, only a month to do that work, in which the magistrate decided that that certainly was not enough time to complete work that these photographs depicted. And we settled on about 4 months to try and get it done within that time period and to come back before the board at that time to determine the progress or if we were in compliance. I was advised at that hearing that Officer Sykes would be the go-to person that I would be dealing with in reference to this. And at that point, I met with the gentleman here, and I can't remember his last name. This was the inspector, this gentleman here, I'm sorry. Yes, and he came out, he inspected. This was probably immediately following the next scheduled hearing. He came out. We talked on the phone. He inspected the property from top to bottom. He took pictures. These pictures are not the pictures that he had taken. We came to the hearing the following day. He advised the magistrate that an extensive amount of work had been done, and if I'm not mistaken, he had provided the new pictures that showed all of the debris had been cleared, the plumbing was in effect and operating, the electricity. Everything had been done. The only thing that primarily had not been done was the stairway leading into one of the, it's an outside door where the stairway that you walk into is a storage room. That stairway entrance to that door was basically in disrepair. It needed to be repaired, and the window still needed to be repaired. And also, I think a portion of a fence or a gate that the tenants had took off the hinge had not been done. Now, there were some other things within some of the rooms because we went in from room to room, the inspector and I. And there were some other things that I had noticed that when I went in, when I was doing, because I'm doing this repair myself. I am certified, state certified in brick and masonry, and I can do this stuff myself. So, you know, I took the initiative based on the economy and every other factors that I would do these repairs myself. All of these repairs have been done. However, I uncovered other things that was hidden by previous tenants that I took the initiative to do myself. They weren't quote-unquote code violations that were described in the violations, but my position was if I'm going to do this, I might as well do it right and do all these other things. Now, these weren't things that were in non-compliance, but it was going to be a job. And as I said before, the inspector, from the original photos and from the secondary inspection and what he advised the magistrate that, look, an extensive amount of work had been done and we were on progress to get this done. Since then, at that hearing, we agreed to a two-month extension to see where we were at that time, and I advised the magistrate that I anticipated on having the remaining things done. Since that time, I repaired the window, I repaired the entrance to that outside storage door, and I thought I was still dealing with the gentleman here, but I got a call from this gentleman who was the original one who had filed the complaint, the one that had asked for the 1 month to do all of this stuff, and I advised him, I said, look, I'm basically in compliance. I said, there's a few things. I said, look, first of all, I said, I'm doing this myself. I said, I did not anticipate, my kids are down here for the summer, 13 and 11-year-old. I said, I did not anticipate getting my kids early because my ex-wife in Houston, she had to get a secondary job, so I agreed to take my kids earlier during the summer. I said, basically the property is in compliance. I said, there's a few things that I can get done. I said, if I can meet you around 4 o'clock, this was yesterday, I said, I can get these things done. I said, I can get to Daytona and get these things done, and, you know, we can resolve this. He said, no, I'm not going to give you the 4 o'clock. I'll give you the 2 o'clock. You know, I'm not going to, you know, this thing has been going on. You know, I said, well, first, and he said, and I'm going to do a thorough inspection from top to bottom. I said, well, look, I said, first of all, I have not been dealing with you on this. I said, an inspector came in, and we went over all of this stuff. I said, and he told me the remaining things I needed to get done, and he took pictures. Well, I don't care what he told you. I'm handling this. So
very interesting.
So my point.
Hang on a second. Is the property currently in compliance?
In my opinion, the property is, I would say, 90% in compliance.
Okay. What is not in compliance? What is left to be done so that I can get some sense, rather than rehashing all this history, of what actually is left to be done and what would be a reasonable amount of time, were I inclined to consider it, to bring the thing into compliance? So what is left to be done in your estimation?
Well, let me say this so you can get I want you to get a general understanding of. There are some things, let's say in some of the rooms, and when I showed the inspector, I plastered walls, I put in new drywall and that kind of stuff. All the holes and all those things were repaired. Those rooms were not painted. Those aren't occupied. You know, this, as you are aware, this was an old rooming house at one point. There's only it has about 14 or 15 rooms. And the front portion of the house is cordoned off. You can't even, that's about three-fourths of the house. The remaining percentage of the house, there are three occupants in there. Two of them are related, and the other one is not related. And, I mean, to be honest with you, this property this has come a long way since how this property used to be at one point in time. My objective is to get this property in compliance. And I advised him, I said, look, painting those areas, that's not per se a compliance issue. That's more so an issue that I was, you know, so as far as to get in compliance, probably, I mean, you know, this is what I would request of the magistrate. You know, as I advise you that this is work that I'm doing myself, and, you know, my kids go back to Houston on the 8th of August. And what I would request the magistrate is for, by the hearing time in September, which is 2 months from now, that we come back before the magistrate, and that work will be done. We will be in compliance. And, you know, my position, quite frankly, is that, and as I told Mr. Simpson, I really don't mind him coming through and checking the property out and doing whatever he needs to do from front to bottom. But, you know, this gentleman and I have a history of problems. And I'm of the opinion that he is not fairly giving me an opportunity. It's my opinion that he doesn't want this property to come into compliance. We had a verbal altercation on the property that almost resulted into a physical altercation. And how he came about to be dealing with this at this point, I have no idea. And I just don't think that he would fairly and impartially deal with this property. I would prefer to deal with any other inspector besides this gentleman. You know, I really don't know what his problem is because it's not personal to me. This is business, and I don't have any grudges against him. I ordered him off my property when we initially had that verbal altercation. When the police was there, I think he was upset about that, and I think he's harboring those feelings, and he's on some type of vendetta, you know, to this point.
The only thing I've really heard here is that you think in 60 days you can be in compliance.
Well, I yes, and I not only.
Just a second. Now, as of the last time that you were out on the property, He's of the opinion it would take 60 days to bring it into compliance, given its current status. Mm-hmm. Do you have an opinion as to how much time it would take to bring it into compliance?
I personally do not have an opinion, Mr. Kelly.
Okay. Is that because it's too extensive for you to estimate?
No, that's because the last re-inspection that was done on the property was done at 5-9 by Inspector Click, who was allowed to enter the front rooms. No one lives there. Nobody lives in Canberra. That is the only note, or the only...
So you're saying we didn't get an opportunity to do a full inspection?
That's correct.
And this is going back to May?
That's correct.
Okay, why hasn't there been an inspection since May?
According to the chronology, there have been numerous attempts to contact Mr. Williams to schedule a re-inspection of the property, which have been unanswered. I contacted Mr. Williams yesterday, again, to attempt a re-inspection of the property. He requested that we do the re-inspection at 4 o'clock. I secure it at 4 at the same time. Mind you, this is the city contacting the property owner to try and obtain this re-inspection. We all know that it's incumbent upon the property owner to contact the inspector for a re-inspection with compliance. None of this has happened. So, I'll be more than happy to inspect the property. But we will be doing a full re-inspection of the property of all the violations.
Sir, can I at least...
I'm done hearing from you. Is there anything else the city wants to say?
Not at all.
Okay. All right. Well, it looks to me as though both sides are just going to have to learn to tolerate one another here. I've got good news for you, and I've got bad news for you, and I've got good news for you, and I've got bad news for you. The good news is... I'm going to order your property to be in compliance by September 8, 2010. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $100 per day will automatically go into effect and continue each day thereafter until the property is in compliance. Now, if for some reason these gentlemen are denied any opportunity to inspect it, you can stand before me and holler till the cows come home about how it really is in compliance. But my point is, these inspectors have to have access to the property. And the reason I'm granting Mr. Williams this extension, because I'm already of the opinion he's been given plenty of time, is I'm feeling just enough of an undercurrent of mutual disdain here. And although it's not my place to be lecturing anybody, I know the inspectors have a tough job, but they have to get the job done, plain and simple, no matter who the respondent is, or no matter how difficult the respondent may be. Now, I'm just speaking in the abstract here. So, you've got until September 8, 2010 to be in compliance. That's the 60 days you asked for. If you're not in compliance, a fine in the amount of $100 per day will automatically go into effect. And you're going to be going out there and doing your inspection, and you're going to have to cooperate with Mr. Williams in order to get that inspection done. And if it means perhaps... you know, rearranging your schedule a little bit just to get it done. Think of it as doing it for me, okay, so that I don't have to referee these things anymore. Anything else to be added?
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
May I suggest I'll volunteer to go with them to re-inspect?
You know, I'm leaving that to the city. That's not my business to tell the city who they send, where, and whom they send. That's the city's business, and so I'm going to assume the city's got it. Lots of level-headed folks, and I appreciate the gesture. Don't misunderstand me. And all I'm saying is that's great, might be a very prudent thing to do. All I'm saying is I'm deferring to your people and your department to make that call. Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
So just so we're clear, Amy, I'm rescinding the earlier order
okay. And
substituting for that the order that I just made. Allowing Mr. Williams until September 8, 2010 to come into compliance. Failing that, a fine in the amount of $100 per day automatically to go into effect until the property is in compliance.
Effective
9-8-2010. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 11, Mark Watt. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Let's say the city.
Okay.
ready. I inherited this case from Inspector Ellison. As of yesterday, the property remains in noncompliance. City would like to ask for $50 a day to be capped at $10,000.
Okay, not having heard from the respondent, based on our inspector's testimony, I'm going to go ahead and order a fine in the amount of $50 per day commencing July 7, 2010, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the fine has accumulated the amount of $10,000, whichever occurs first. Okay?
Okay.
July 7, 2010. So $50 per day commencing July 7, 2010, continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or until the fine reaches the sum of $10,000, at which point the fine will be capped. Case number 12, Joseph S. and Sandra I. Palmer.
Hi, I'm Mitch Bryant with Sunshine State Community Bank. I do.
And Mr. Bryant, what capacity are you here in?
We obtained certificate of title on the property on June 17th. Before that, we had been notified of the violations requested to be repaired for Mr. Palmer. We're in the process of completing that. We've got all completed but one item, and just requesting a little extra time to get that completed.
Mr. Stenson, do you know Mr. Bryant?
I've spoken with his office.
Okay, so is work underway?
The only thing left now is the occupational license.
Okay,
but you actually have to get it scheduled. We're not going to rent.
We're going to finish our renovation efforts and sell it. So we're in the process of getting the tenants out.
In the process, you still have tenants in there?
Yes. That were inherited.
Right, I understand. Is it compliance as long as the tenants are still there? Or is it an open book?
Well, what's the status of the tenants? Are they subject to eviction?
Yes. Yes, we gave them an eviction notice. And
so when do you expect to have them out?
Again, I'm not an expert in eviction law, but I think it's 30 days. Is that correct?
When did you start the eviction?
I think it was 2 days ago.
So hopefully.
I have a feeling they're going to be out sooner, but
all right, well, but for the tenants, it sounds as though he's in compliance if they're not wishing to rent the property. So
yes.
I guess within the next 30 days we should know. All right. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by August 4th, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, that's an ominous-sounding thing, but what it means is...
Yes.
It sounds as though the tenant's the last bit of paperwork, so to speak, that needs to be done with, and then call your inspector.
Okay.
They'll do the final inspection. That'll be the end of it.
All right. Thank you.
Case number 13, Mike Nelson. Let's say the city.
There's still no occupational license applied for or obtained. The city would like to impose the one-time fine of $250.
And is that the only thing that we're lacking?
Yes, sir. Okay. The parking violation is in compliance.
Okay. Based on our inspector's report, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent pay the $250 one-time administrative fee. Is that all I do on that? Seems like the more I do this, the less I know. Very good. Case number 14, Harold W. Hunter Sr. and Lisa Hunter Davis.
Good morning.
Sorry, I thought somebody was coming up here. Let's save the city.
I've had no contact, and there's been no occupational license applied for or obtained. The city would like to ask for the one-time fee of $250.
All right. At this time, I'm going to, based on our inspector's report, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to pay the one-time administrative fine of $250. Case number 15 is in compliance. Case number 16, Bernard R. Carter.
Compliance as of 7/12.
Very good, thank you. Case number 17, Jose Ortiz.
Compliance as of 7/12.
Case number 18, Monica McHugh.
There was an occupational license applied for. No inspection was ever requested, and that's been back from May. So we're city's requesting the $250 fine.
All right. Based on our inspector's report, I'm going to go ahead and the respondent to pay the one-time administrative fine of $250. How much time do they have to pay that once I convert it to an order?
Yeah.
It just sits there as a fine.
Yeah, probably.
Accumulates interest until it's paid.
Mm-hmm.
But it just remains at $250 in principle.
Right.
Okay, case number 19 is in compliance. Case number 20, Suzanne Galasso, Kathleen J., and Leon A. Lynette. Anyone here for the respondent? Okay, let's say the city.
Application was made. They've had two inspections. Both failed. The inspections were in March and April, and since then, nothing. So the city requests the one-time fine of $250.
Based on our inspector's report, I order the respondent to pay the one-time administrative fine of $250. Case number 21 is in compliance. Case number 22, Loggerhead Daytona Marina, LLC.
Good morning.
Can you state your names, please?
Patricia Smith.
Donald W. Smith.
I'm George Dixon with Loggerhead.
George.
Dixon, D-I-X-O-N.
You're with Loggerhead?
Yeah. Well, Courtney there.
I'm Jason Neufeld. I'm counsel for Loggerhead.
Okay. Can you
try
your hands, please?
Do
you
swear
to
the testimony
that provides
the truth
and will be presented by the truth?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. I guess I need to go find order. Let me hear from Loggerhead. Let me have a Loggerhead representative here.
With your permission, the Smiths would like to give a statement first, if it makes a difference to you. Just that we made peace, and they're happy with what we're doing, and they wanted to say something to that effect.
Or be it for me to stand in the way of peace.
They've made physical changes in their deck that helped 100%.
Great.
And they've been very strict with the bands, and we've been on a friendly basis, and if I have a complaint, they're glad to comply with whatever I ask.
Okay. I don't really have much to add to that. Did y'all want to be heard from?
No, not that. I mean, if they're happy with what we're doing, we're continuing, and we'll stay in contact with them, and if they need anything, we're more than welcome to work with them.
And since they've made the changes, I've noticed their business is as good or better than it has been. So nobody's hurt.
Very good. Okay. I don't know. It seems like I see a few less boats in there these days. But
everywhere.
I guess that's everywhere. I'm still upset they took those gas pumps out. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
Okay, administratively.
The rates have gone down, though.
I'll say that the boats that are there, they want to spend a weekend there. I think they'll enjoy it better without the loud noise.
Okay. All right. How did this matter come before me? Is this for me to consider whether or not there's been a violation of an existing rule fine order?
Yes. And so, in light of what's been presented, the city's position is that we would ask for a dismissal.
Okay. All right. I'm going to find, based upon the representations of all the parties before me, I'm going to find that this particular episode has been amicably resolved. And with that, we're going to go ahead and dismiss this case. Okay, folks, thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you.
Can you come over here?
Yeah, sure will. I see you.
Okay.
Thank you, Amy.
Rand J. Lassiter. Yes,
morning.
Sir, please state your name and be sworn.
Timothy Hassler on behalf of Fran Lassiter. I do.
And your last name again?
Hassler, H-A-S-S-L-E-R.
And your affiliation with Mr. Lassiter?
I'm his property manager, okay. And I'm also a general contractor.
So you have authority to speak?
Yes, sir.
With regard to this item?
Yes, sir.
Okay, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time do you think should reasonably be required in order to bring the property into compliance?
I believe it should be in compliance by next cutoff.
All right, the next cutoff for your benefit, Mr. Hassler, is August 4, 2010. Inspector seems to think you ought to be able to bring it into compliance by then. What say you?
We'll be in compliance by August. What was the date, sir?
Fourth.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by August 4, 2010. It will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Hassler, please keep in mind when you're done doing all this, make sure you call for a final inspection.
Yes, sir, Mr.
And Denson. He puts the piece of paper in the file that ends it all.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Case number 24, Walter Washington Jr. and Clara Washington. All right, let's say the city.
This property remains in non-compliance. City would like to say non-compliance, next cutoff.
Is this property abandoned?
Yes. It's unoccupied. It's actually condemned.
Also unsecured?
No. It's actually secured now. As the pictures cycle through, you'll see the city actually secured the property. However, the property is condemned. It's actually going on two sides of the street, on the building official side and the code enforcement side. This is basically a formality that all the violations have to be specifically listed.
In order for what to happen?
Either the property owner is going to condemn it, or the property owner is either going to demolish it, or the city is going to demolish it. Got but it. In order for the owner to do it, it has to be specified. You can't just do 2228 and say it's condemned. Right. You have to know exactly what's going on.
Okay, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance, or the respondent to come into compliance by August 4, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 25, Ava M. Brown and Nellie L. Morris.
All righty.
Morning.
Your name, please?
Nellie Morris.
Solemn
I do.
Ms. Morris, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Being non-compliance. Mr. Stinson, how much time do you think should reasonably be required for the respondent to commit compliance?
There's actually two properties involved with this, Mr. Pelja. I would have to say minimum of 60 days to come into compliance because there's quite a bit wrong, and I believe that they're considering selling the property as opposed to continuing the way it's been going now.
Okay, is the property currently occupied?
Yes, it is.
So as long as it's occupied, it's got to be brought into compliance.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. Sir?
As long as the property is occupied, it's got to be brought into compliance.
Correct.
As opposed to boarding it up.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, and I'm sorry, you said 60 days?
Yes.
And just clarification, the inspector, I think, intended to say that there are two structures on one parcel.
So correct.
So there's multiple problems.
So the violations I'm looking at here go to two buildings?
Actually, there's two structures on one parcel with two different addresses, 414, 416. This particular issue is for 414. Okay. I actually have another case open for 416 as well.
All right. Okay. All right. Ms. Morris, the inspector seems to think you ought to be able to bring the thing into compliance by September 8th of 2010. What do you think?
I'll get my aunt and let her know that. Like you said, she really wants to sell it, so I just let her know the findings for today.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing this. So, you don't think it can be in compliance by September 8th, or are you trying to tell me the person that owns it is not going to be bringing it in compliance in hopes of selling it?
That's correct.
And the property's occupied?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, as long as the property's occupied, I can't ignore these violations. If the property's unoccupied and boarded up, then more latitude is given. But as it stands right now, I have to order the respondent to bring the property into compliance. So let's just focus on that for a moment.
Okay.
How much time do you think it would reasonably take, setting aside the sale thing?
Right.
How much time do you think would be reasonable to correct the items that you've been told have to be corrected?
I would say the 60 days to be exact. Yeah.
Okay. So now what you're telling me, though, is that odds are that's not going to happen because the person that owns it's really trying to sell.
Unless I can convince her that, we need to bring it back up to compliance and not sell. She's old and, she's like, sell. Don't want to listen to all that.
Is the property on the market at present?
We do have a realtor. Yeah.
If I can ask what you felt, is the realtor aware that there's a code accident that's causing the problem?
Yes, yes. Everything was faxed to him.
Okay.
He's gonna, yeah.
All right. Well, for the time being, we're all gonna have to go by the numbers. And so with that, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by September 8, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. I would suggest, and this is just a suggestion, that you all do as much as you can. You try to take care of as many of these issues as you can, and demonstrate some reasonable effort to bring the property into compliance. And then, if you need additional time, ask for additional time.
That
would be my suggestion. Understanding that all along the way you're trying to sell the property.
Okay.
But in any event, I would urge you to stay in touch with your inspector, because if 60 days from now your inspector says he hasn't heard from you, then we're going to get upset.
Sure.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
I have case number 26 is in compliance. Case number 27, Jacqueline Cord, Tennessee. Anyone here for the respondent? All right. What say the city?
Ultimately, this property is in non-compliance.
Ultimately, it's in non-compliance.
Correct.
Junk vehicle, accessory structure, fencing, peeling paint, windows.
The junk vehicle portion of it has been rectified.
Okay.
However, the fence is still in repair.
Fence is still what?
The fence is still in disrepair.
Okay.
There's actually supposed to be a gate going across there. It's not there. And actually, the peeling paint issue is also no longer there. The only two issues that we need to be, or that I'm concerned with right now, is the fencing and the windows. The property owner, I believe she's a little confused. She had windows installed. Unfortunately, the windows weren't up to code. As far as wind resistance and all that other fun stuff. So to rectify that, in order for her to get permitted and all that fun stuff, they told her that she needed to have storm shutters for when the storm, the city, permits and licensing, told her that she probably needed storm shutters for when inclement weather came around.
Storm shutters for the...
For the windows.
Windows.
Correct. I believe...
The city making that recommendation.
Right. I believe that the property owner misunderstood this to say, put storm shutters up and leave them up.
I can see where that could happen.
And that's exactly what the property owner has done. She put them up and left them up.
Storm shutters up thinking she's done.
Correct. And
her storm shutters are covering plywood windows.
No, they're not plywood windows. They're just not up to code for wind resistance.
Are storm shutters an alternative
to windows?
Windows that aren't up to code and pretty
no.
I'm sure it's a big question.
No.
I don't know.
No.
All right.
I'd like to say non-compliance next cutoff to give me opportunity to explain this to the property owner, because clearly there's some miscommunication.
What are the storm shutters? Are they the corrugated aluminum that I'm
correct.
Seeing?
Yes.
And is this actually some sort of a storm shutter system, or is this something that's just...
It's a physical thing.
You into the window.
No, it's bolted. They're bolted into the frame of the building, and put them on and take them off.
You spend some money to get these things installed?
Oh, definitely. Edie Storm Shutters from Daytona installed it. Install them on all the windows, and clearly there was some serious miscommunication here.
Right.
So, the way it stands right now, she probably assumes that she's in compliance with those storm shutters in place, but that's not exactly what needs to happen. I need till next cutoff so I can explain this, so she can...
All right, and is the next cutoff going to be enough time for you to explain it and her get the work done?
Yes. The storm shutters are easily removable.
Okay, now I go, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. We order the respondent to come into compliance by August 4, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay.
Mr. Kelly, I think the respondent for case number 5 is
coming from Mr. Smith.
Just
to
College Park one.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we'll refresh my memory. What was the ruling in case number 5?
Amended the compliance date to September 8th on to demolishing qualifies as compliance and order on that client.
Okay. All right. And the respondent? And is this the property we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
I do. Yes, I'm Bernard W. Smith, Jr. I'm here to provide an update. This has been clearly a nightmare. It has been difficult to get clear title. Here's what's happening. We have application with community development to do a complete rehab on this piece of property. We can't move ahead until this 2000 lien that has been placed by SunTrust on the property can be removed. No one can find it. No one, the SunTrust company can't find it. MBNA, who handles all credit card services now, can't find it. They can't find the lien. So I have requested to offer satisfaction of lien. Now, I haven't gotten a response as of yet, but that has been my last effort because no one can find the lien on the property but the title company. The SunTrust can't find it. The county says it was placed in the year 2000. Most people seem to think it's quite unusual for a credit card to be placed on a property like that. So it's just been a complete nightmare. The community development department is waiting on me. They're waiting on me. And I'm waiting on to get clear title. And it's just been a nightmare. Yeah, but it's so expensive that without the community development assistance, it's going to be impossible. And I don't think we got a contractor, and they clearly are ready to accept the contractor's bid. It's within reason, but I'm just fighting to get this clear title. It's just one issue just holding me up, and I've offered I've made a request to offer satisfaction of lien with the credit card services company, and I'm waiting to hear from them.
How much is the lien?
It was filed in the year 2000. I think it's about $6,000.
Mr.
Kelton, I think Mr. Manchin, right? No, my name is Smith. My sister, yes, right.
I'm Smith Bernard.
Right.
Mr. Smith may not be acknowledging or aware, and it may be something you sort of worked out with the community development, but there is an existing code enforcement lien on property.
Yes. You're talking about the water?
A couple hundred thousand dollar code enforcement lien.
I don't know anything about that.
Yes. Through our investigation, you do have a code lien on the property from 2003 to the tune of $270,000.
We've never been made aware of that. I've never been served that.
Just make sure we're talking the same property so we're no confusion here. Lot 17, 18, the Boone College, 214 College Park Drive, that's what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's my mother and father.
Okay. Uh-huh. Order imposing lien. June 2nd, 2003 was recorded in the public record.
Was that served then or what? It wasn't served to my sister or I. Who signed for it?
That's not the entire file. It's like 13 pages. But, yes, it's...
I'd like to know who...
We can talk about that one first.
Yeah, this is new to me.
Okay, but that's, appears to be a valid lien against the property as well. So that may be something else you're going to need to work out.
Well, what for what violation was this for?
That's probably something that this isn't. I need to sit down with you and explain this whole thing to you.
This is completely new to me, and I've never heard of this before.
Correct. We'll discuss that largely outside of these proceedings.
Okay, I would love to get with you immediately because this is the first I've heard of this.
All that being said, obviously, with that lien and our lien, clearly, community development is not going to have the opportunity to give them assistance yet until those titles get
right.
So, in lieu of all of that, we were discussing the possibility of demolition as a solution to these violations.
Well, I mean, if I'm not able to get clear title, and then you're bringing this up, it could very well be a possibility. That's not my first option.
Right.
Clearly not my option, my first option. Because you just sprung one on me just then. Not aware of that at all.
I understand that. We're just informing you that demolition may be one of your options that you want to consider.
For the apartment unit?
For compliance on the apartment unit. 214.
No, I definitely wouldn't consider 214. That's my family's dwelling. That's why I'm...
They're both. Okay.
We'll talk. Yeah.
As it stands right now, the matter that's before me was heard, and, albeit in your absence, it was decided we would give you another 60 days to bring it into compliance. Failing that, a fine would automatically go into effect. I think it was in the amount of $100. Now, let me back up and go by the numbers. How much time? Set aside liens, set aside title, set aside all that stuff for the moment. How much time do you think it would take to bring the property into compliance? Were you of the money to do it?
The
time to physically be required to physically take care of all those debts.
Well, the contract has stated that he could do it within 60 days. So, I mean, based on the contract.
This isn't unreasonable.
Well, 180 days.
Yeah, okay. Okay. All right, anyway, so 60 days isn't unreasonable. So now the question becomes you figuring out what to do with this mess.
Yeah.
By mess, I'm not insulting your property. I'm talking about the title. I'm talking
exactly.
About the liens. I'm talking about all that other stuff that is now impacting what you're going to decide to do.
And the title company didn't bring this up.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Now, is this property secured?
Yes, sir.
Is it unoccupied?
Yes, sir. It's secured and unoccupied, and there are no services at all. Because we've been anticipating the assistance from the community development.
And I assume we're getting complaints about the property?
Yes, sir.
Okay, when do you think you're going to know what you're going to do with this property? I'm really not getting into a dead end. I'd like to get it in compliance. That's my primary obligation here.
I would love to get into.
At the same time, I'm not opposed to trying to give people time to figure out what the smart thing is to do, as opposed to tossing their property into financial oblivion. So, when are you going to know what you can and can't do with this property?
I'm hoping within 60 days. I mean, it's going on long enough. I've done everything I could possibly make communications with. I've been sitting around in circles. And it's just that's the myth, which is a new thing. Well, I'm talking about.
Everything goes great for you. What happens in 60 days?
I'm hoping to be awarded the community development if I can clear up all this mess.
It ain't gonna happen until your title issues are squared.
Right, right.
And from what I'm hearing, your title issues are going the wrong way on you now, because now you're learning about another lien.
Yes, first I've ever heard of that. Yeah. Never been made aware of this at all. I just need some time to work this thing out.
And if you're not able to work all these issues out, then what do you do with the property?
Well, I'm going to, if I have only one option left, I have to take that option.
I assume we're talking demolition.
Right, I'm not going to tear down the family house. That's completely out of the question. Okay. If
this property we're talking about?
No, that's the next door.
This is the one I'm focusing on.
Yeah, right, right. I'm saying if worst comes to worst, then that might have to go. The home next to it, no, I'm not. That's still the apartment there. Yes, all of that's the apartment structure. That structure was built 60 years ago. It can be rehabilitated if things fall apart. I just have to do what I have to do with it. The home is not that bad of a shape. I could get that done. I could do that pretty much.
Talking about the home.
No.
Mr. Gus, if I might, this is kind of like the Pleasant property. There's two structures on one
structure I'm dealing with.
Correct.
Right. Yeah, that's 210.
What's that?
Okay, well, I'm not opposed to
working with you, but at the same time, there are other interests that I'm responsible for as well. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to vacate that previous order. I'm going to continue this matter to the next meeting, which is going to be August 10th. Smack dab in the middle of my vacation plans. It's just occurring to me, but in any
case, September.
So I'm going to continue this meeting to August 10th. Now, in the interim, that structure that I'm looking at has to be secured to city standards.
Okay.
Okay. And while it may be an impossible task, this is all I can do for you. I'm giving you till then to come in and you tell me how you're coming into compliance. At that point, it isn't going to be enough for you to just report to me that you've got nebulous title issues.
Right. Right.
And you've got unforeseen lien concerns, and you're kind of hoping and praying that the community redevelopment is going to step up. If you can't give me a concrete plan,
right,
as far as what you can do to try to make all this happen for your property,
right,
then at that point, I'm pretty confident what I'll be doing is giving you the 60 days and the automatic fine that I'd already ordered today.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving you a reprieve, so to speak.
Okay, thanks.
I don't mean to sound arrogant.
Well, I appreciate that.
A reprieve here, so to speak. I understand you're working with a lot of issues. Can't help you with any of them. All I do is give you a little bit of time. And when we meet again, it needs to be, I've got my lien release from SunTrust, or I'm going to have it within 14 days.
Right.
And it's, I've dealt with this lien, and it's either been satisfied, or I've got a motion that's going to be heard to address it, or what have you. And, I mean, it needs to be concrete stuff.
Correct.
And if it's not concrete stuff, then I'm defaulting right back to what I did today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right. Well, I'm going to do my very best and my next appearance to have a concrete plan for you.
Very good. Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, that concludes the regular agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate? Yes, sir. Come forward.
My name is Muhammad Munir Kabazi, and this is in regard of case SMG-0110-06. Last week. I do.
All right. I don't have the. Anyway, can somebody tell me what the matter was and what the outcome was?
May I?
I believe it's Mr. Smith's
case. All right. And your last name again, sir?
Kabazi. Khabazeh.
A little background on this property is 812 Magnolia. Last month, I believe it was last month, we imposed a fine on the property for outside storage, windows, roof. At the time that the fine was imposed, the property was still in non-compliance. I know I'm going to mess up your name, but I trust you now.
Kabazi.
Okay. He says that the Saturday following the
Before.
Well, as you can tell, my pictures are dated. When I was on the property, and then not compliant.
When were you on the property last? Do you recall? Well, obviously, it was before the meeting.
Let's see, I got 167. And the meeting was, what, 6-8, I believe?
Meeting was 6-8.
Right, so the day before the hearing. I took those last pictures. So that's the day before the hearing.
All right. And Mr. Kabase, what is it I can do for you? What is it you want?
Well, on Saturday, the day before the meeting, I'm sorry I could not attend the last meeting. I could not get the day off. It's the 8th or the 9th. On Saturday, we went and mowed the yard. We removed all the debris on Saturday. On Monday morning, it was removed off before the site. I was there when it was being removed, and the order was imposed from March 3rd, 2010.
March, and it was, the orders were continuing.
From March, I have paid $1,430 in just junk removal.
Okay, let me try to cut to the chase here. Are you going to tell me that you're in compliance?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you're going to tell me you were in compliance at or about the time of the meeting?
Yes, sir.
All right, but we have not had a final inspection.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. All right, well then, what I would suggest...
The compliance is not on the roof and on the windows.
Okay, so you're still not in compliance?
No. Okay. The original came in to remove all outside storage of junk and debris, identification number, obtain proper permits and repair and replace all broken or inoperable windows. Remove dirt and grime from exterior surfaces. What we did, we covered the windows, and in order to get that correction done, but we did not remove the we did not change the windows. We have not done the roof.
Okay, we're really not going to accomplish anything right now. Well, what we need to have happen is this gentleman needs to conduct an inspection to find out where we stand or where you stand as far as compliance is concerned. And then that property needs to be brought into compliance as soon as possible. And then once it's in compliance, you can ask for a reconsideration of that fine. And we'll hear all the things that you're getting ready to tell me right now. Right now, until the property is in compliance, we don't hear these things. We don't hear them piecemeal. So as soon as the property is in compliance, then you're going to ask for a reconsideration. And at that point, we'll hear all the circumstances you get ready to tell me about and take that into consideration when you ask us to reduce and or waive the fine. Understood?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
I just ask, when may I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Why was it imposed from March 3rd, not from the date of the...
I don't know. I don't have your file in front of me right now. And I don't recall it off the top of my head. I would have to take a look at my file materials. All I can think of is that it was a compliance date, and perhaps we gave you I don't know.
Yes.
I have to look at the file. I don't even want to speculate.
But the major issue was the debris, and I have taken... After that June, I did another run yesterday, and it cost me another $120 of removing debris. The neighborhood seems like... This is their dumping ground.
Okay.
And there is a no trespassing sign. I don't know who is that gentleman that's in the picture, but that's a recurring thing. And it's not like I'm not doing anything. I am paying over and over just to get to take care of just the...
This is all information you should bring before me when the property is finally in total compliance, and I'll be happy to listen to it.
Okay, but could I ask another question? Is this $1,000 per day?
Is that the amount of the fine?
It says it can be up to $1,000 per day.
Yeah, that's a pretty steep fine. We don't usually fine people $1,000.
I mean, I'm trying to obtain financing, and that's still from March 3rd. That's over $15,000.
So I suggest you get the property in compliance as soon as possible, have him confirm that it's in compliance, and then ask for a reconsideration, and then we'll be happy to address every one of the topics that you've raised right now. But until you've brought the property into compliance, the fine continues to accrue. Now, we may modify the amount of the fine, but we're not even going to consider it until you're in compliance.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thanks. Thank you, sir.
All right. Any other miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate? Nope. Boom. We're adjourned.